Welcome back to the Leaders Table. I am your host, Ricky Villanueva. Emily Martin joins us on our podcast today, and Emily is an alumnus of Chick-fil-A's Leadership Development Program and the current operator of Lathrop Marketplace FSU in Lathrop, California. Emily, thank you for joining the Leaders Table.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
For sure. Thank you for joining. And let's dive right in, and I'd love to just get started and hear your story.
Yeah. So he mentioned, you know, I'm part of Chick-fil-A for a while now. I am originally from Sacramento. So Sacramento is home to me, California, born and raised, and love it. Started Chick-fil-A when I was 16. And, you know, growing up, I had five sisters and my parents out there. And raising five kids in California is expensive and a lot. Not cheap at all. And so my parents, you know, did everything they could. But when I was 16, it was like, you know, time to get a job. Start helping. And I wanted to really, you know, mm-hmm. to help as much as I could. And so started Chick-fil-A, never been to Chick-fil-A before, never heard of it. And in my interview, I remember lying because they asked me what my favorite entree was or what my favorite menu item was. And I was like, chicken nuggets. They for sure have chicken nuggets. There's no way they don't. And then I ended up telling the truth later on, but it was just like, you know, Chick-fil-A was new to us and never been.
For
and
sure.
So, started and really fell in love with it. So, but other than that, in high school, I did music. So I was really big into music and that whole performance realm, played professional bassoon in college. That's what I majored in. Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Most people don't even know what a bassoon is, but it's just about as
I'm not going to act like I know. So I'll just sit here and smile and we'll keep going.
Yeah. That's why I got a scholarship, you know, because it was, it was rare. So ended up going to school for that in New York. So across the country, and loved music, loved bassoon. But I was really using music as like a emotional coping mechanism, my education, work, and like also trying to enjoy it. And it just wasn't working. So I had a really tough year. My first year of college went through some pretty rough things and was struggling with like, I have always thought that that's what I wanted to do. Like I had always been like, I'm going to be a professional musician for the rest of my life. And that's what I'm going to do. And I really had a hard time coping with like, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? Or am I just good at it?
Yeah.
And so I made a hard decision to come back home and started back up with Chick-fil-A as just a like, hey, I don't know what to do. So I'm going to do what I know and be a team leader there and move back in with my family. And so after doing that, I went on a few grand openings as a trainer when I was, you know, 19 years old and loved it, had so much fun, hated the job, hated training, but loved the atmosphere and loved this kind of big picture Chick-fil-A. I hadn't really experienced that in California because Chick-fil-A's are so like few and far between that like Chick-fil-A culture, it wasn't like it was a bad culture by any means, but it just wasn't that like,
wasn't what it is today.
Yeah. Yeah. It just wasn't. And it was really, you know, just kind of a job. And so that's when I really got that taste of like, oh, this is Chick-fil-A and this is something special. And I got hooked. And so I remember coming back and telling one of my directors like, hey, I don't know what this is, but I want to do this for the rest of my life. And I want to be an operator. And he was super supportive and like, yeah, he wanted to be an operator too. Like, let's get it. And I remember telling my parents and they were like, what? you want to do what? And you know,
for sure,
my parents had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what that meant, to be fair. I was just talking to my dad about it not too long ago. And he was like, I thought you were crazy. He was like, well, they don't give those away to 19-year-olds.
To anybody.
Yeah, you're sitting here telling me you want to be an owner out. He's like, you just quit school to move. Like, you don't know what you're doing. And so, yeah, I set that goal, and it was kind of a long shot, but really didn't know what I didn't know. And so just kept working and saw an opportunity to take a director role at another store that was opening up. And so Grayson Tanner, who had just exited LDP at the time in 2018, was opening his restaurant in Sacramento, and it was going to be the closest to us. And I was like, I wonder what he's got going on over there. And so reached out and interviewed with him, and then got the opportunity to go over with him and help him open his restaurant. So worked as a director there for a while throughout college, graduated from Sacramento State. And by this time I was like, hey, I'm all in. Like, I'm all
something in. I want to actually do and pursue.
Yeah. It's something I actually want to do and pursue. And it's something that I think I might be good at. And so I was really starting to feel like kind of how I felt with music, but in a more tangible way of like, this is what it feels like to really be like passionate about what I'm working in.
For sure.
And so really started to like develop as that and just get really passionate about business. Along with Chick-fil-A. So got into LDP then in 2022, that a year after graduating, did just over 2 years in the program, did I think 15 assignments, maybe 16 assignments. Yeah.
Open. Quite a
bit. Yeah. And a lot of them were interim managers, so running restaurants in, you know, that don't have owner operators in place. And so did 11 of those. And then, yeah, five. So it must have been 16 assignments, 5 grand opening assignments.
Gotcha.
And then through that was in the process. I knew I wanted to be back in California. Mm-hmm. That was always the goal. I think especially once I started traveling, it was very evident that like, hey,
that's where you wanted to be. Yeah. Like, this is where I want to be. This is where I fit in.
Yeah.
And this is where I can truly impact the community.
Yeah. And genuinely like, you know, I want to impact the community that built me up. And I didn't
like paying it forward.
Yeah. And, you know, in California and especially where I'm from, you know, in Sacramento in the Bay Area, it's very much a hustle culture, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody is, you know, working really, really hard for their goals. Everyone has multiple jobs and it's expensive, but it's also, it's not the easiest place to live and it's not the easiest place to, you know, get opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a part of helping that. And so it was very evident that I wanted to come back here. And so got the opportunity to get Lathrop, which is, you know, less than an hour from where I grew up.
That's awesome.
And yeah, so got to move back home now and it's been great.
That's awesome. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I definitely have a question for you. I have many questions for you as we kind of talk through your story, but I think there's one that it's kind of like really itching at me. And I think it's how you found the courage to pivot in a season where you like move back home, you're unsure of next steps. First off, you moved across the country.
Yeah.
And now you're like, okay, how do I pivot? I know I want to kind of go back home. What's the next step for me? I love just like, how did you find the courage in that season to make that decision? Such a big decision.
Yeah. I would love to say that I felt courage in that moment. that was not what I was feeling. I was feeling terrified. I was feeling, honestly, I felt like a failure. I think when I originally went to school in New York, I felt like I was representing my city and I felt like, hey, Emily's going to make it and Emily's going to do this thing that nobody does. And Emily, like she got a scholarship and she's moving across and she's going to make it. And I felt that pressure. And
like
so when I was
weight,
like,
right?
Yeah. And I loved the weight. I wanted to do that so bad. I wanted to succeed, but I didn't like it. Mm. And so I felt like a massive failure. And so really when I came back, I had known deep down, this is something I need to do. Mm-hmm. I could tell it wasn't working, but I was really scared to tell people. Yeah. I was really scared to tell people. And I think what gave me the strength to feel courageous or even make these moves was really finding my faith and finding my relationship with Christ. And that was about that same time when I had been introduced to religion little bits, but I was never, really a believer.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so came and had this, really awakening with Christ in that year.
And this was in New York, correct?
In New York. Yeah. New York. And so that kind of gave me this, I remember feeling like, I don't want to feel this for the rest of my life. And if God is real and I'm believing in this, like, this is not what I'm supposed to feel for the rest of my life. And there's a healthy pressure to feel. And then there's an unhealthy pressure to feel.
For sure.
And so I felt like I felt the shift in that, in that year or so. And so coming back, it was a lot of, I think I had to face the failure aspect of it, quote unquote. And I think that took me a while to face head on. But once I was able to really, you know, bring my religion into that and bring like my faith into that and say, hey, you know, this is who I am, and I'm still going to be successful. It's just not going to be in this. And once I could get to that in myself, then it was easy for me to put that, you know, facing the rest of, you know, the world. And I also think that, like, in the moments when I came back and was really struggling with that decision and with that, you know, kind of failure feeling, it helped me a lot to do that inward, and not necessarily invite a bunch of people into those decisions and into those, but really just focus on, hey, who are those relationships that they really mean a lot to me? My family, right? My really close friends, and like bring those people in.
For sure.
And if everyone in your close circle is saying, no, it's okay. I think you might have made the right decision. Then it doesn't matter what the outside world is saying.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, you know, just being like true and authentic to who you are as you're kind of navigating those waters. And yeah, it's a lot, right? Like I look back and it's been a while since I've been 18, 19. It's been a little while. You know, shows my age a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a couple of years for me.
But I will say is man, like I know in those years, I think I felt a lot of pressure in many different ways, from family to school to just everything that was kind of going on in my life at the time. And now throw into the mix, like I'm halfway across the country. Like, like I said, I know for me, it definitely would have been very difficult. I've lived in my hometown all the way up until I moved for Chick-fil-A's LDP. And so like I said, I could just imagine. And when I did move, it was kind of like this, that's the best way to put it. Like I felt like I really missed the community that I had. I really like understood that I cared a lot about my family. I think we can talk about that a lot. It's like, oh, I love my family. I care a lot for them. I miss them. But it's like once you're away and you're not, and they're not in front of you, it's a very different weight. And I know looking back, I'm like, man, I like truly, truly miss my family. And so I'm glad that you were able to lean on their family.
Yeah.
They were able to help you make those decisions. And honestly, like you said, just make the decisions that were right for you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like leave out the outside pressure, even if, let's just be honest, that outside pressure sometimes is speaking way louder than your inner voice, right? It's kind of like overtaking it
a lot of the time.
for sure. So kind of in that same realm as we talk about it, right? We said, hey, we want to be true, authentic. And you said a little bit while struggling to fit in at times, right? I can relate to that. And I know that so many others can as well. And so you talked a little bit about your faith and how that helps you push through some of those moments. I'd love to just hear maybe a little bit more of like, what keeps you grounded? And in addition to maybe your family and faith, like how do you push through some of those moments?
Yeah. I think I'll take it in a kind of a couple ways, but I think the biggest with my faith being, you know, really the rock behind like, hey, how am I able to push through things and having those connections with the people closest to you that you trust, you know, I think the really, the huge thing, especially for me is like self-awareness and self-reflection. I'm a very big, I call myself like an introverted extrovert. I am super talkative, super loud, super engaging. But that's exhausting to me. It's naturally who I am, but I need to recoup and be alone to really process. And what I noticed in when I was struggling with this and like learning, you know, really who am I as an adult, it was a lot of like, when I would get alone, I would be depressed. And it wasn't because I didn't want to be alone or I wasn't around people. It was because I didn't know how to process the thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
And those thoughts would just be so loud and so negative. And outside as a human, I'm super positive. I'm one of the most optimistic people. Even sometimes it's like toxic optimistic. Like it's like, I'm just like, there's no wrong in the world. Mm-hmm. And, but inside my own head, sometimes it was the opposite. And I really, really struggled with like, one, why is that the case? And then how do I fix that?
Yeah.
And so I think the way that I was able to do that and still able to do that, because I think that it got better, but it's still that's something that I'll continuously go through. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us do.
For sure.
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day and she was like, I'm all great until 10 p.m. when I'm laying in bed by myself. And then the thoughts start going and I'm like,
rolling. And you're like, I don't know how.
Yeah, what happened? Like, I rethink every decision I've ever made in my entire life. Yeah. And so I think that like learning myself and helps a lot. So like that kind of self-reflection and self-awareness. And so for me, what that looks like is like, I know that I recharge alone, but when I recharge, like if I'm not doing something with my hands, my mind cannot process. And so I took up things that like, were going to keep my hand busy that weren't scrolling on my phone because that was the easy thing to do. And that's what, you know, society is like, we'll just scroll on Instagram. And so I took up things that was like, hey, when I'm alone, right? And when I need to, everything else is so noisy and I need to decompress and really calm, like taking things up with my hands. I've always just been somebody who does that. And so whether it's puzzles, I crochet, I do all of these things. Nice. That's like, hey, even when I am just thinking or, you know, talking with those close to me, like I need to be doing something with my hands. And so for me, that's just like a little tick that really helps me like be calm.
Yeah. And like calms the mind down, right?
Yeah. Calms the mind down and get through things. Mm-hmm. And then, I know it's cliche and everybody says it, but I journal constantly. I am in the process of moving, right? And just moving in and I'm opening all these journals that are just like stocked full of stuff. And I rarely go back in them, but I just so happened to see these full journals and I was like, should I keep these? Should I not keep these? Yeah. And I'm going through and seeing what, you know, 4 years ago, Emily was writing down as her struggles and being able to confidently be like, hey, I'm
kind of overcome, not necessarily overcome, but like, I've grown in how I combat these. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but even just sometimes like, you know, brain dumping, like I just need to get home and jot everything down. And sometimes that looks like I totally suck. Today sucked, this, whatever. And then afterwards I'm like, oh, okay. I really don't like, I'm being dramatic in this piece of paper. But if I didn't dump all that out on a piece of paper, it would be in my head.
For sure.
I would continue to spiral on that. And so I think that that does help a lot with that kind of like check myself and continue to like do it when there's not that the other person to process it with, like that helps me a lot.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing. I also kind of look back and I'm like, people think I'm crazy. I have to listen to music as I'm working on a computer.
Oh yeah.
Like how do you have all these words and all of this and you're focusing? And I'm like, I don't know. It's nice sometimes to have that be the focus. And I look back at like my time in the restaurant, you know, a lot of people, maybe not a lot of people, but there's some restaurants that don't play music, you know, in the kitchen, right, as you're kind of working. And there's some restaurants that do. And I've worked in both. And I think the ones that I flourish a little bit more in are the ones that kind of have that music.
Yeah.
Because kind of this like background noise to kind of calm my mind and not spiral out of the million things that are going on, especially if you're in a restaurant, right? Like we're both from the restaurant. We're both from like Chick-fil-A's and we understand the genius of them. And there's a million different things all getting thrown at you at one time, right? And you have to figure out how to navigate that and kind of block out that outside noise 100%.
Yeah. And I think that, like, with just our world now, it's like our world is so short attention spans. Like, even ads, right? Like, we got like 4 or 5 seconds, you know, we have and are just,
I'm like, skip the ad. Let's go. Let's move on. Time.
And it's like, where you, like, there's a 30 second ad. Like, I'm looking for the skip button and I'm like, it's 30 seconds, like, relax. But like, we're so used to that. And I think a lot of times there's kind of this like dooming cloud over it of like, oh, that's bad. That's so bad. And I mean, it is, but it's also our reality. And like, how do you use that kind of thing for a positive way rather than just shame yourself for needing it? Like, I need that. And that's okay. Like, I have a short attention span. That's okay. What works for me, you know, if I'm crocheting, I could actually pay attention to, you know, what I'm listening to, or I can actually, you know, but if I'm not, I can't. Yeah. And so it's like, and it's okay to sometimes just be like, hey, that's what my mind needs. And
100%.
I'm going to do it the way it works for me.
Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that, right? Cause like, I think, like you said, it sometimes has this bad connotation.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you have to do these things and you're like, man, but I don't want to. Well, embrace who you are. Yeah. Be okay with this is who you are and how you are going to be successful and be able to process things. And I will say, like, it took me a little while. Like, I was a little embarrassed at times where I'm like, I have to have music. And most of the teams that have worked with me know, like, I hate silence. In like a hiring trailer, right? And everyone's just kind of doing their own thing. And I'm like, guys, like, this is... it's too quiet in here.
It's too quiet.
Can I play something? Can we, like, even if it's just jazz music with no words, like, just give me something. I have to have something, right? Like, I just can't sit there and work. I don't know. I just need that. But so once again, thank you for sharing and kind of thinking through that. And I'd love to actually kind of want to switch gears a little here. I'd love to dive in. I'm excited to kind of ask you this question. I've been kind of thinking about it as we've been talking today, and you've hinted at it, but I'd love for you to name it. And my first question for you, I've got some follow-ups after it, is what is your purpose in life? I know that's a deep question, but.
It is. Well, hey, like, I honestly, like, genuinely thought about it a lot. And I think that I'm really proud to be able to say I know it.
Nice.
And so that's really exciting. Cause, you know, 5 years ago, I would have been like,
I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, so I name my kind of purpose statement as I want to empower and equip those around me to live life through their passions. And so you'll probably ask me in your follow-ups, but just a little bit like highlighting things in there. Empower and equip is big for me. So like, I love to vision cast. I'm a vision caster. Nice. I love to empower and bring people up. And that's great. But if they're not equipped to do what they need to do,
they'll never be successful.
It only goes so far. Yeah. And so for me, like, those two really go together, like empower and equip. I don't want to be the one that is just empowering. I really want to equip those around me. And then I am super passionate about what I do. I love what I get to do. I love, you know, I'm super, super passionate about everything I do. And I love that feeling. And I'm so glad that I'm that way. And it is hard for me when I talk to somebody and they just are like, I don't really have that about anything. And I know on the other side, right, there's something.
For sure.
You just haven't found it. And so I love bringing people to that, whatever capacity that is and whatever capacity I play in getting them there. That's really where my purpose stems from, is like, hey, getting people to where they feel that feeling that is the most joyful feeling I've ever felt, you know?
For sure. It's awesome. So I kind of, what I kind of hear in this theme is like paying it forward, right? It sounds like you've had that kind of epiphany. You've been able to really hone in on like, what's your purpose, and now being able to help others achieve their purpose.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'd love to hear like maybe that journey and how it's manifested in your past roles. Yeah. And also like you kind of hit it on a little bit, but what is it going to look like for Emily as the operator? Because for those that don't know, the store's not open just yet. But what is that going to look like for Emily as the operator in her business as well? So how's it manifested in your past roles? And what's it going to look like in your current role and in your current business?
Yeah, that's good. Well, kind of the journey to get there, I'll talk through a little bit. So I really think it started with a thought of like, I want to help people. And everybody wants help. Not everybody. Most people want to help people, right? Most people care. And really
most people do.
Yeah, most people do. And so it started there. Like, hey, I want to help people. And for everybody, that looks differently. And it should, because that's how we all get the help that we need. But for me, I kind of felt stuck after that and was like, okay, I want to help people. And my career goal that I loved, my career goal of becoming an operator, like I was so passionate about that, but I was like, well, that's not my purpose. Like I love Chick-fil-A and I plan on being with the company for the rest of my life. Chick-fil-A is not my purpose in life. And so coming to like, okay, what does that look like for me? Take everything about my career aside. What does that look like for me? And how do I want to help people? And so that act of paying it forward was big for me. I think that like serving the community that is underserved has always been top for me. And so I've toyed a lot with adding something like that into my purpose because that is more specific, I guess, but it's more of a like add on an additional kind of thing, but serving the communities that are underserved for me means really second chance adults. So thinking through, you know, people who've been incarcerated or people who have struggled with homelessness or sex trafficking or domestic violence or really that adult
for sure
that needs a second chance, right? And so that's a second chance adults, and so that's the community that like I really feel drawn to, because for me growing up and seeing different situations, and Sacramento is one of the most unfortunately one of the highest rated for sex trafficking in the country, and being surrounded with this culture of people, like, you know, it's sad, and a lot of times they don't have that second chance. And so for me, that's always been a group of people that I really wanted to target and help, because I felt like I have the resources to do so. And so in previous roles, honestly, like it took a lot of intentionality, I think, to feel like I was living my purpose. And helping people get there. It's easy for us to do a little bit of that in the restaurant. We're able to, you know, hire 140 people and really impact their lives and give them opportunities. And so I always felt really fulfilled in that case. I think where I had to like learn is, hey, how do I do that outside of my job? And so that's been a really honestly fun journey, because I've tried different things. I've gotten involved in different things. And like really just learned like, hey, what can I do in my job and what can I do out of my job that's still fulfilling in the same way? So that's definitely been a journey. But now as an operator, so we open in February, February 25. So super exciting. And I think that, you know, being only 45 minutes away from where I grew up, a lot of the similar issues go on. Similar culture, similar, you know, to all of that. And so I think it's going to be interesting to kind of go through, hey, what does this look like in this role? I think that some of it is going to be very the same, you know, some of it is going to be very similar. I'll be able to impact, you know, 140 people that I hire and really give opportunities. But my community really has a lot of needs, and I'm excited to use Chick-fil-A as a brand, as a product, as, you know, a company to be able to give back in a lot of those ways. And so for me, I'm very excited about like partnering with these different groups to see not only like, hey, how can I donate? How can I serve? How can how can I help and partner? But then also give my team that ability. And so there's a few homeless shelters and survivor shelters that I'm going to give opportunities for the team to be, hey, like, if you want to come with me on this Sunday to come and serve this community, like, sign up, let's go together.
For sure.
And make it kind of a way for people to serve easily.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of younger people or even, you know, just busy people who are working, going to school, like, I don't have time to think about who am I going to serve in my community. But if it's presented to me of like, hey, we're all going.
The access is there.
The access is there. And so I want to be able to provide that access. And so that's a kind of new thing that I feel like in this role, I'll get the opportunity to do. And I'm excited about that for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Man, it's exciting. It's kind of getting me in like this, like, you know, what can I do to help? Right. Like it's getting me all inspired and ready to go.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Like, let's go do this now. I'd love if you don't mind, Emily, you know, like, I'd love to support the community as much as we could. Obviously, I'm not in California or anything like that. I can put it some links as we post this, maybe some links to local like shelters or anyone that you really want to partner with. And I'll kind of let you, like, we could talk about it afterwards. And
I love that. That'd be great.
And those that are listening that are able to support and help. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people that will be listening that want to help communities and have that need and are already helping their own communities and love for that reach to continue. So we'll definitely add some of those links in as well.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you.
For sure. For sure. I want to touch on one question, right? Yeah. I'm from Chick-fil-A. So we hear this a lot, or not from Chick-fil-A, but like I'm from the Chick-fil-A community. So I know we hear this a lot where it's Chick-fil-A is not my purpose.
Yeah.
Right. For those people that maybe are new to Chick-fil-A restaurants or the Chick-fil-A brand, or maybe have not just been immersed fully into like all the great that this brand does, what does that actually mean? Like, first off, like just on a basic level, hey, my purpose is not in Chick-fil-A. And then kind of how do you live out those two together, right? It's like your purpose is not in Chick-fil-A, but they do work together.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And a little backstory, like I think for a while I didn't say it, but I felt like Chick-fil-A was my purpose. And so I think it's really been able to help me grow as a human and as a leader after learning and how to separate it. And so when I say like, yeah, Chick-fil-A isn't my purpose, I'm put on this earth, you know, from the Lord for a very specific purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And Chick-fil-A is a brand. Chick-fil-A is a brand that does so much good and is an amazing, amazing company that I get to partner with in order to make my passion and my purpose on this planet happen. But Chick-fil-A is a brand. Chick-fil-A could go away tomorrow. Yeah. And for me, it was really important to like, hey, I'm not rooted in the existence of this company. Mm-hmm. I'm rooted in my purpose.
Correct. Yeah.
And Chick-fil-A is able to work with me and partner with me in order to make like every impact that I want to have easier. And it gives this kind of, one thing I love about Chick-fil-A is literally the brand. I love that it's, you know, now in all across the nation, but in other parts of the world and other countries. I love that it is expanding. I love that people know the name. I love the logo. I love the iconicness of the brand.
For sure.
Because like what I want to do here in Lathrop, California and in Northern California like is great. But Chick-fil-A gets to do that across the world. And so being able to kind of partner and get the okay from Chick-fil-A to be like, hey, yeah, use this brand here in Northern California to do good. Why we use this brand to do good in other ways is really encouraging. And so I think like, as we merge together of like, hey, this is my purpose and I'm rooted in this, Chick-fil-A really makes that better. Is able to partner with me in order to make my purpose more fulfilled.
Sure.
And so that's really how it pairs. I think that going back a little bit to people who maybe are new at Chick-fil-A or even feeling how I felt with the like, hey, I feel like Chick-fil-A is my purpose.
Yeah.
And going through the journey of like, okay, it's not, what the heck is my purpose? I think my biggest encouragement is like, truly think about and journal about like, if Chick-fil-A didn't exist tomorrow, what would I do? And how would I still be fulfilled? And if the case is I wouldn't be fulfilled, then like, I think you need to start thinking about like, hey, what actually fulfills me about being in Chick-fil-A? Mm-hmm. And then learn, hey, how do I do that without the brand? Because I do think that for the balance in your life, which is, you know, really a struggle for everyone, but for mm-hmm. sure, those of us in the restaurant world, that like that balance, if you aren't fulfilled, unless you're at work, you're never going to find balance.
Yeah.
It's always going to be imbalance. And so that would be my biggest encouragement, but learn how to use your purpose with the strength of Chick-fil-A and marry the two rather than merge the two.
No, that's a perfect way of saying it, right? Like it's, I know my co-host is not with me today. Unfortunately couldn't make it, but that's one of the things like Chris talks, like Chris and I will, I mean, there's days where we'll just like call each other and we were supposed to talk about something completely different and mm-hmm. we'll be on the phone for like 2 hours and we're just like kind of exploring our thoughts and everything that we've got kind of going on. And I remember one of the biggest things that he had said for him personally was understanding that his purpose was not in Chick-fil-A, right? I don't want to speak for him, but I do remember him saying like how impactful that was for who he is as a leader today.
Yeah.
Right. That it's not rooted in this. And if this brand was gone tomorrow, right, like his purpose would still exist.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so his purpose is not found in the brand. But at the end of the day, the brand is giving you this opportunity to exponentially, yeah, right, increase the reach and the engagement and the impact that you can make on people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where that kind of, like you said, marry the two kind of comes in.
Yeah, that's good.
Man, sorry, my mind's kind of just reeling. I'm just processing everything you're saying. And yeah. I've got one follow-up to this purpose as we kind of think through it. And you talked a little bit about helping others find their purpose, right? And helping them kind of in their journey. Is there one story that kind of comes to mind of maybe someone that was lost and that you really kind of helped them find the way and their purpose in life and they're thriving today?
Yeah. Yeah. There is somebody that I hired as a team member.
Nice.
Hired as a team member back in Sacramento. And I, you know, we worked together. I was a director of operations at the time and really developed them in the restaurant, mm-hmm. right? In the restaurant. And one part of that I'm really passionate about as a leader is meeting with them constantly one-on-one. And through all of those times, it's always, I'm diligent about like, first, how are you? How are you as a human? How are you as a human? And then we can talk about work, right? Mm-hmm. And there was one day specifically that I remember I asked okay, how are you? Good. Okay. doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Something's off. I can tell.
Let's talk more. Yeah. How are you actually doing? Like, what's up? And it was just broken down, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what I want to do. I don't have any purpose, basically, right? In a lot of words. But just breaking down of just like, you could see this, I want to do something. Mm-hmm. And really getting down into it, it was a lot of like, I love my job. That's all I know I love.
Yeah.
Like, I love my job. I love being here. And so really like what I loved was that conversation. It felt like a breaking point. And it felt like, you know, this really pivotal moment. And now fast forward, you know, 5 years, it really was a pivotal moment for him of, okay, why do you love your job? What is it that you love? do you love serving chicken? Maybe, probably not. Like, it's probably not the food that you love. And it wasn't, right? Like, he liked his job, but it really was the same reason why I loved Chick-fil-A when I did, of this is some of the best people I've ever been around. Mm-hmm. And being here surrounded by these people makes me want to do more with my life. And I don't know what that more is, but I love the people. And so I'm really challenging them. I'm like, hey, you know, you've identified why you love this. Like, let's think through, you know, different things that can kind of test, like, hey, is this the part you like? Do you like the development piece? Yep. Do you like just the fact that you are around these people in this atmosphere, you know, and really getting to do that and kind of help him through the journey of it, which is what I love. Mm-hmm. The journey of going from, I have no idea what I want to do with my life, yep, to now I'm doing LDP. I want to be an operator. I want to have this impact and create this culture for the rest of whatever community I join to be able to do the same thing, right? And helping him really learn that, like, hey, it's not Chick-fil-A that you're passionate about. That's okay. It's people that you're passionate about. And this is the way that helped you and you want to do it again. And so really helping him along that journey, like, unforgettable for sure.
For sure. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
It's what it kind of reminds me of is a book that we read is called Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. Right. Yeah. And I'm trying to remember the five questions off the top of my head. Right. And that's where, like, you kind of help someone. It's not necessarily purpose driven. It's more of like, what's their native genius?
Yeah.
And I want to say it's like, what do you do better than anything else you do? What do you do better than the people around you? What do you do without effort? What do you do without being asked? I think. And then the last one is, I think, what do you do without getting paid? Right. Mm. And I think that's kind of like you did in that one-on-one, is asking those questions and really getting to the root of, like, what is it that you're like, what's your purpose?
Yeah. Right?
And so I love that. And I also wanted to throw in the Multipliers, just because Multipliers, I'll be honest with you, is probably my favorite book.
It's a good book
of all time. And so I just thought it'd be great to, like, kind of throw that in, and also helped me. Cause, like, as I think through it, is like, it's easy to ask those questions. What's not easy is to truly connect with the person across from you.
Right? Yeah.
Like, that's, and it's not that it's hard. It's not that people lack to try, right? Mm. But it's being able to break down that barrier and being able to say, it's like, hey, I'm truly here to support you. I'm truly here for your service. Mm. And once you can kind of break down that barrier is where things kind of open up. But
yeah.
But anyways, yeah.
It's like reading the silence too a little bit. Like that emotional intelligence to be on the other side and hear, like, I have no purpose. I have no idea what I want to do. Then to hear, like, okay, well, you've been here for 3 years, so you kind of like it here. So,
yeah,
you know, or the silence of, like, I have no idea what I want to do, but I'm in school for accounting. And it's like, tell me more about how you got to accounting. Right. It's like kind of, knowing to dig and when to dig, sure. I think is good.
For sure. For sure. Well, Emily, I've got maybe one more, like, full question to kind of ask as we kind of wrap up our time. And unfortunately, we didn't really get into it too much on the podcast, but this was more of what you and I had talked about and our kind of initial call and one-on-one. And one of the things that we had talked about was family has shaped your personality, right? And so I'd love to just hear is, like, how has that bond in your family shaped who you are as a leader today?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So, like I said, I was raised with, you know, a lot of girls and my parents. So have some great sisters and amazing parents. And I think, you know, a few things really shaped my life in a little different way than I think a lot of people. And so my parents, one, met later in life. And so they were older when they raised us girls. And so for me, that was interesting, right? Growing up, I think I always learned a little bit, you know, like growing up, I would listen to records with my dad. And no one my age was listening to records. I probably knew what a record was.
And they're coming back now, though. I do have to say that they're coming back now.
They are coming back. But yeah, so, like, you know, little things like that. But it also was different because I was raised with qualities that they were raised with, mm-hmm. you know, in the 40s and 50s mm-hmm. that like are a little different than they were before. And so it caused our family to just have different core values, I think, than obviously not everybody, but then a lot of the people who I was surrounded with. And then my sisters and I, we grew up really close, and we struggled with different things growing up, you know, like every family does, and mm-hmm. Some financial problems, and you know, my dad retired and lost his job due to some mental health. He just struggled with some mental health, and rather than ignoring it, he dealt with it. And I think what makes me proud as a daughter and was really, really impactful at the time was seeing, hey, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
And it's okay as a man to say, I don't have it together right now. Mm-hmm. And so all of that to say, my dad stayed home and my mom worked multiple jobs. And so my mom, one of the most hardworking people I've ever met, and really instilled this, like, if you want something, you better go work for it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want something, okay, you say you want that. Okay, what are you doing? And so really that hustler mentality I got from my mom. You know, I was the girl in seventh grade with the shirts that I'm puff painting and selling for $10, or, you know, the king size candy bars in my backpack, like, yeah, $2, you know, like that was me. And it was because it was like, one, it was helping me
for sure
to take care of myself, but also it was just kind of like, that's what you do. You hustle, you know, that's what you do. That's
grind it out.
You know, but, and then my dad was, you know, an amazing parent to grow up with in the house, because he was a man that was very in touch with his emotions, mm-hmm. and he was okay with that. And he was okay talking about it, and he was okay sharing it. And what he did was really allow for us to be able to have both the, I'm going to protect you and I'm going mm-hmm. to hustle and do what needs to be done, with, hey, it's powerful to be emotional, and it's powerful to know how that is in you. And so that really, like, those, my parents just truly impacted me so much, and all of us. So I think growing up, those bonds were very strong. And we were always with mm-hmm. there being so many siblings, it was always like, hey, your friends are in your family. You know, your friends are in the house. Why do you gotta go outside the house? Your friends are right here.
Sure.
And I loved that. I really did. I loved that growing up. And comes with positive and negatives, right? Like, it was hard for me then to build lasting relationships, because the lasting relationships I was used to were my blood. Yeah. And they're not going anywhere. But I learned how to have all of those things and how to do that, and rely on people from those relationships. And so I think it molded literally who I am as a being. But then, like, even more than that, it molded who I am as a leader, mm-hmm. Because I saw how both of my parents led our family in very different facets. Mm-hmm. Like, I learned that, like, hey, my mom was always the financial person. My dad didn't pay any bills. My dad didn't even know what the bills were, probably, you know.
Yeah.
He would help provide, but my mom would be the one paying all that, just because that's, you know, that's who she was. If it wasn't her paying it, she would have worried about it anyway. So she might as well be the one paying it. But my dad was always that, like, he was the one to keep us goofy. He was the one to keep us as kids and keep us playing and keep us, you know, in sports and motivated and learning how to, you know. And so seeing both how they led and how they could do that together in a marriage, but then also just as parents, helped me learn what strengths that I naturally have, and then what strengths maybe I don't naturally have, but I need to find in a person or somebody in the business, when it comes to, like, my career, to balance, you know what I mean? And so I think I learned a lot subconsciously about that, that I've taken with me my whole life.
I like, shout out to our parents. That's the best way I can put it, right? Shout out to our parents and how they've helped us like shape who we are. And like you said, being okay with things and just shaped who we are as people, as leaders, as in general, right? The last thing I'd love, Emily, is just, is there anything that you're itching to just tell the people that like you would just be upset if you didn't share today? Anything that you're just like, I'd love for anyone to just hear maybe a thought you have. I'd love to just give you a little bit of a time here to share if you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my biggest thing, and this is always like, no matter what your career is, no matter what, like, be yourself and be unapologetically yourself. Some people aren't going to like the unapologetic Emily, and guess what? That's fine. And some people are going to love the unapologetic, and that's fine. But truly, like, when you are just yourself, you are the best version of you. And if you are worried about, hey, you know, this job won't want me if I'm like this, or they won't select me to be an operator if I'm too this, or whatever it is, like, then you're missing things in your own life. That's not what it's about. This life is too short to be anybody else. This life is too short to worry about anything or worry about, you know, are my clothes to this? Are my clothes to that? Or do I talk to this? Yeah. Like, guess what? It's okay to talk different, and it's okay to dress different, and it's okay to do all those things. If that's who you are, be yourself. Yeah. And so I think that the quicker that people can get that, I think it's so, so powerful. And so that's my biggest encouragement. And guess what? You are not the first nor the last person to struggle with that. And so don't hesitate to tell anybody like, hey, man, I just really struggle to be myself. And
for sure,
probably the person on the other side is like, yeah, me too. Or like, yeah, I did that too. And so just talk about it and be authentic. And just don't hesitate to be just the full version of you.
For sure. Man, that was well said. Right? That's all I can say. Well said. I remember when we first got on the call with Chris, you and I, and, you know, just talked a little bit about the podcast and just connecting like with what you said, being true and authentic. Mm-hmm. I think we all struggle with, you know, different things in our lives. And like, I know we didn't get into a little bit today, but like imposter syndrome, we've talked a little bit about that. And just being like, hey, it's okay for you to be a little bit different, right? Yeah. Like, as long as you're true to who you are, that's super important. And I'll be the first one to tell you is like, there's times where I kind of struggle with that, and I'll be the first one to admit it.
Yeah.
Right. But it is that reminder as you are meeting with people, as you're hopefully listening to this podcast and just hearing about that is kind of that reminder to kick it back in. It's like, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
Be who you are, be true, be authentic. And that's what's most important.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, Emily, thank you so much for joining our podcast today. I 100% appreciate it. Definitely learned a lot. This podcast is great. But once again, thank you for joining.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This is a great podcast. So thanks for having me on.
For sure. We definitely appreciate that. We're hoping, like I said, this podcast can help others and really builds community and inspiration. So we really hope this episode specifically, right, kind of provides that inspiration, encouragement, and community as people are going through those things and seeing like, hey, here's the journey that Emily was on. Here's where she's at today, right? It wasn't all smooth. Just like all of our journeys, it's not going to be smooth. It's going to be okay. And I hope that helps someone, even if it's one person.
Yes.
Right? Helps someone along the way and provides that community to them. Please follow, share, and like our podcast, guys, The Leaders Table, hosted by Chris Lipscomb and Ricky Villanueva. We're on LinkedIn, Spotify, Amazon Music, Podcast Index, and you can also catch us on rss.com. And with that, thank you once again, guys.
Thank you.